you really love so dear. And that being gone left me sad and lonely, 'cause you missed them and wish they were still near. Yeah.
Children, I can relate to that too.
I can tell you now, without a doubt, I know what you're talking about.
Listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell,
or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana 71307.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Get your Bibles. I'm just going to just walk through the scripture. I'm not going to stay long, because I ain't got long to stay. Come on. I want to begin where I started this morning, Hebrews chapter 2. But I want to pick up at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. Thou madest him, speaking of Jesus, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death, and deliver them who through fear, and deliver, listen at the word, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If you're scared to die, the devil has got you in bondage. He'll make you not do some things because you're scared you're going to die, or he'll make you do some things because he's scared you're scared you're going to. If you're afraid to die, then you're in bondage. He done took the power away from, Satan can't make you die no more. That's what you don't understand. I'm not through reading. I'm getting ready to preach. Oh, glory. Listen at what the word says. Look at what the word says. It says, again, verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now look at this. Turn on over here to chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus. Well, wait a minute. Back up, if you will, to the second chapter, verse 9. Second chapter, verse 9. Second chapter. But we see Jesus. Now go back on to verse 14, chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence. The writer of the Hebrews is trying to help us to keep this thing straight and not get it twisted. To really know who Jesus is and to know who he is in a personal way, and to understand that what he went through on behalf of you. Now listen at this as I start here. What sense does it make for you to duplicate what Jesus has already done for you in terms of suffering, in terms of your flesh, in terms of the things that had you in bondage? What sense does it make for you to go through unnecessary stuff when Jesus has already taken care of that? You see, in Jesus, when you really know who he is and what he has done for you, it brings about an important reality again for the believer. Because again, once you know that you have been redeemed, and if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are truly redeemed and brought back and bought back to God, as Jesus' plan was for God to return men back to God. But then you also are reconciled through Jesus Christ to God, and you're put back in that right state with God. Because that's important. Just because he buys you back, that's one portion of it. But to put you back where you belong is another. And then he restores you, restoration, because restoration gives you the same place you fell out of, got knocked out of, walked out of, and yet it doesn't demote you or cancel out your benefits. You start right back where you were and continue on with the progress. Now, listen to this. Has anyone on your Christian journey ever missed the mark, fell out, missed the mark, I mean, dropped out, turned out, got out, and yet God restored you? Well, listen at this. One of the things that you need to understand, this message is not about a sin or just about sin or not about shortcomings or just about shortcomings. This message is helping you to understand that you are designed by God to be a victorious overcomer in this world. A victorious overcomer in this world, which means that as you look at your life and survey your life, there may be some things that aren't quite lining up with the lifestyle of a winner. Now listen at this. What you don't have, perhaps many times, the understanding of is that the devil knows that because of who you are and whose you are, he can see winner all over you many times when you can't see it yourself. And sometimes when it just seems like things are coming together and then the devil tries to rip them apart and you throw your hands up in the air, well, if you're going to throw them up in the air, go on, praise the Lord while you're there. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't just throw away the time. Don't do all of that stuff, because look, the devil can't take your joy, can't take your victory, can't take your place. The devil can't do anything but persuade you and hope you make the wrong choice again. Now listen at this, because it's important. If the resurrection experience, and Paul talks about this in Corinthians, he says, if the resurrection never happened, your faith is in vain. But if it did happen, then you need to act like it happened and start living a life full of victory. Now, it seems like it's easier said than done. No, it's not. It's easier done than said if you really know the one who can make it happen. How many of you have ever gotten blessed, ever got a promotion, ever got access to somewhere or something else just because you knew somebody else? Ever had that experience? Well, listen at this. It wasn't because of you, but rather it was because of who you knew that got you in a door, that got a door opened up for you, that got you access in a place, so forth. It wasn't just you alone. Well, this is what I need you to know. Your victory doesn't come because of you alone. The doors God opened up for you doesn't come for you alone. It comes because of him and because of your knowledge and relationship with him that God does all of these things for you. Now listen at this, because I want you to see again. Verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, comma. See, all of the rest of this don't make no sense if you don't see Jesus. Now notice the word says, but we, because I ain't seen him by myself and you haven't. But this is believer talk. This is faith talk. But we see Jesus. We share this commonality that we have seen him. And because we've seen him, we are also the recipients of the blessings because of our belief in him. We see Jesus. How do we see him? Because how you see him depends and determines your level of blessing. You see, if you see him just as your Savior, then you'll see him saving your soul, but you don't see him making you whole. If you just see him as a Savior, you know, and I'm not talking about Savior in the fullest sense of the word. I'm talking about Savior in terms of that singular reality in your life. If you see him as a Savior, but if you don't see him as a heart fixer, if you don't see him as a physician to heal your body, if you don't see him as one who's able to give and grant grace and favor, if you don't see him in all of the ways the word paints a picture of him, then the reality is you will never get the full benefit of it. When it says, but we see Jesus, it literally means that we see that he's more than meets the eye. Jesus is more than, in other words, there is so much to him that it would blow your mind if you really understood how deep he was, if you really understood how rich he was, if you really understood how powerful he was, if you really understood the connection that you have that grants you access in heaven and in, if you really knew who Jesus was. Jesus saw a woman at the well one day and he said, give me a drink of water. She said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water? Do you know what Jesus told that woman? He said, if you just knew who I was. I'm not asking you for the water for me as much as I'm asking for the water for you. Because I can't bless you with the water I got till you give up the water you got. y'all don't. Jesus say, I'm just doing this trying to bless you. You don't really know who I am. Water? I made water. Oh. He could speak to the cloud and say, I need a rainfall right here. And it would happen right in the midst of a drought. Jesus could speak and the clouds dry up and there be no rain. He just wants you to know who he is. Woman was crying, her son, there was a funeral on the way out of town. Jesus was coming in town. Everybody weeping, they're passing each other. Jesus said, what's going on? They're bringing the body down. Jesus just stopped and just said, oh, nice casket, nice casket. Oh, boy, get on up from there. He got on up, he kept on going. When he said he was the resurrection, to his friends didn't even believe. Oh, I know I'm gonna see my brother in the resurrection the last day. Jesus, I said, today, I am. Not I will be the resurrection, but I am. You crying because I didn't show up 4 days ago. If I had shown up 4 days ago, you wouldn't have seen me demonstrate that I am the resurrection. You don't believe? Wait a minute. Where y'all put him at? Roll a stone away. I'm tired of dealing with stony folk and folk who got blocked up. You can't feel me because you got stuff blocked. Get all that out of the way. Lazarus! And I suggest to you, if you had some folk that day, if you'd called their name, they would have got up also, because he is the resurrection. Listen at this. Whatever you have need of, one day they were paying taxes, didn't have no money. He said, look, go fishing. And he caused money to show up in the gill of a fish. He said, now go pay your taxes with that. Whatever you need. I wish I had somebody. But we see. See, if I see Jesus in the place of my need, then my need will be met by Jesus. So when I need money, instead of looking for money, I need to see Jesus. Paul said it, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. How's he going to do it? According to his riches. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is your need today? I shared this morning, R.W. Shambach said some many, many years ago, I mean, when I caught the revelation of that blessed my heart, R.W. Shambach said, if your problems aren't greater than the resurrection, you ain't got no problem at all. Now, may I ask you a question? What is your problem? And if it's not greater than the resurrection, you ought to start shouting out because God has already fixed it. I said, God has already fixed it. This ain't no Easter morning message. This is a resurrection message. And the revelation of the resurrection is every day he keeps on blessing me. Every day he keeps on making ways out of no way. Every day he's the same Jesus. And the power that raised him is alive in every believer today. And so the reality is, if I have a need in my life, if I have a desire that lines up with his word, if there is some direction, all I got to do is see Jesus. Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the... If I could just see Jesus. Now look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Because I want you to see this. Just see him today. Just see him. Now let's go back, if you will. Let's go back to the fourth chapter. The word says in the 12th verse of the fourth chapter of Hebrews, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the... That word gets... When Jeremiah said, is like fire... That was one description of it. But the reality is, the word goes and is so powerful because it is a creative word still connected to the Creator. Let me say it again. It is a creative word still connected with the Creator. So if the creative word is still connected to the Creator, then those of us who are called by him have only but to believe it and to speak it, and it comes to pass. when Ezekiel was down in a valley filled with dry, drier than the person sitting next to you. Now that's dry, ain't it? Listen. Now y'all gonna let me finish this now. The creator of the creative word asked the question to the called, which was Ezekiel. He said, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel, in essence, with respect, though he didn't say it, thought it, you're the creator. I don't know, I'm just the creature. Looking at some carcasses. But look at what God tells him to do, which gives us a helpful holy hint, which is still a reality of what happens today. He says, speak to the bones. But the bones ain't got no ears. Speak to the bones. But the bones are disjointed and disharmonized and disorganized. You got foot bones here, head bone there, shoulder bones there, toes and fingers all mixed up. Speak to the bones. But they've been dead so long that they are scorched white. Speak to them. Listen, this is what I want you to tell them. Oh ye, and call them what they are. Dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Now listen at this, because here's the point that I'm making. When you see Jesus and understand this word and understand what resurrection power means, it means that you have the same power to call those things that be not as though they were. You have the same creative ability according to the word that is found here as an authorized agent of Jesus Christ to speak this word of truth and believe it and align with it. And this word is going to happen just like he said it would happen. Listen, when Ezekiel said what God said, accepting nothing but believing that God was faithful, he spoke the very words, and the Bible said that became a rumbling in the valley. And the bone came to his bone. And you know the story, the foot bone connected to the, yeah, and on and on. And before you know it, it was a full skeleton. And he calls meat to come on that skeleton. And then he calls the winds to blow and blow life, which was representative of the Holy Ghost. Because I got to tell you, you got some dead folk who look alive, ain't got no spirit on the inside of them. That's what makes the life come into the body. You look at somebody right now, they look like they're dead. That's probably because they are spiritual. Because when you've got life in you, life is to be lived with bigger vim and vitality. If God has been good to you, you ought to show some sign. If the Lord is real in you, there ought to be some witness. And the reality is, if this word works for you, you then ought to be the greatest witness, because you are the recipient of what God says you have. Listen to me, listen, and I'm closing, listen. It says, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, meaning that we no longer are limited to the priest on earth. Me and any other man that serves in a priestly position, you're not limited to them anymore. Listen to what it says, that is passed into the heavens, and in the name, who he is? Jesus, the Son of God. Not Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Listen, for we have not, and he's making it clear, an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, somebody say all points, tempted like as we, what? Not were, but tempted like as we, what? Don't act like the devil can't tempt you, because you still live in the flesh. You might not live out of the flesh, but you still live in the flesh. And there are some things the flesh needs and some things the flesh desires. And you still got to bring that flesh under subjection. Just because you saved don't mean that you don't like some things that the unsaved like. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Just because you're saved don't mean that you don't like apple pie, baseball, and hot dogs and all the rest of that stuff. Just because you saved don't mean that you don't like the things to look nice, to dress nice, to live nice, to walk. But when you put all of these things ahead of God, like the world do who seek after them in Matthew 6, then you miss your blessings. Because if you seek him and see Jesus, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be. See Jesus. Look to Jesus. Now here's the point. If Jesus has gone through it, and he did not flunk the test, he wants you to call him for the answers so that you too can ace the test. Listen, and because you belong to him and he belongs to you, he has a right to tell you what he knows, and especially to reveal what the enemy is trying to do. And so when you can get, because the enemy don't play fair. The enemy shoots for your weakest spot. The enemy tries to take you out when you're at your weakest point. The enemy will use what he can, who he can, where he can, and when he can, because his only desire is to get rid of you. But Jesus has prayed for you, and he's been through it. And that's why when the saints say, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, here it is, that I am his own. Now, because I am his own, he has a right to share the information that he knows. Look at what the text says. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. And he knows what's going through you. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So look at what the next verse says. Let us therefore come boldly. Look at, because they go together. The only reason why I'm coming boldly is not because I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I am everything that God's called me to be. I have done everything he has ushered and issued out for me to do. That's not why I'm coming boldly. I'm coming boldly because when he saved me and when he sanctified, and sanctification is a continual ministry in the earth realm. How many of you know that you every day ought to get closer and to be better and to do more for the kingdom of God? Sanctification, separating you from the world and bringing you closer to him, is a daily walk. You don't grow there overnight. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, that's favor, in time of need. Now, I have mercy for my situation, for my sin, for my shortcomings. That's for the things that are wrong. That's mercy. Mercy. Anybody need mercy? Anybody needed mercy? Anybody think they're going to need some mercy? Shout mercy. That's for the part that we mess up on. But the grace is the favor. That's the part where God smiles on us even when we don't deserve it. That's when he looks beyond our faults and still gives us our needs. When we look at grace, we're looking at, because Jesus got up that third day Sunday morning, he was able to give fullness of grace to every believer, so much so that even after he applied the mercy, which is what the father did to the prodigal son, fell on his shoulder, gave him that mercy for that. And then the grace was when they killed the fatted calf, gave him a brand new ring, put a new robe on it, put new shoes on his feet. Anybody know that the grace is a blessing after the mercy? Yeah. See, mercy would be enough for most of us, but then after he blessed us after we done messed up and know we don't deserve it, that ought to make you shout all over somebody. I know I'm here by the grace of God. Ain't been nothing I've done. I can't get holier than thou. Act like I ain't never missed. Can't reach down and pick up nobody, because the same place I was, they are in. And I can tell him what they've done. What he's done for me, he can do the same for them. That's grace. And you can come boldly. Listen to what the word say, and obtain it. If you know you're going to get it when you go there, then you ain't got to come, Father, here I come, your poor, weak, and humble sir. It say, come boldly. Where you going? I'm going to see Jesus.